Who am I supposed to vote for? Am I supposed to vote for the Democrat who's going to blast me in the ass, or the Republican who's blasting my ass?
Politics is just all one big ass
it
blast.
Is a coast
you're gonna get your ass blasted.
Nationwide
okay,
ass
you know
blasted.
No more.
Well, hello and welcome. This is episode 5 of the AirRaid.net podcast. I hope you're ready to get your asses blasted. I know I said on episode 1 that we probably weren't going to talk much about politics, but shit, dude, I'm a liar. Welcome to the show. This is the show that drops bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I am your host, Aaron Roden. You can email me at aaron@air-raid.net. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter at AirRaidNet. And, of course, you can download us on iTunes and hopefully soon Zune Marketplace. So we got a very special show planned for you guys today. Two great people are joining me. On the mics, we got Toby Crittenden and Sarah Nason from the Washington Bus. Hey, guys.
Woo, hey.
Hello, 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 hello.
So sorry I told everybody that you guys are going to ass blast us.
That's what we do.
Yeah, yeah. You're in the ass blasting business.
It's pretty
cool. That's what my degree is in.
I thought it was geography.
Same thing.
Oh, okay. So we've got a great show lined up for you today. You guys are going to be talking with us a little bit about Initiative 1098, right? The
yes.
Washington State Income Tax. Mm-hmm. Also, we're going to be talking a little bit about what you actually do for, or what the Washington Bus Organization does, because I think it's really cool, and thank you so much for coming. Yeah, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But first, I wanted to mention friend Kathy Height, Lesbo extraordinaire, threw an amazing July 4th party. And, you know, I was just thinking about this the other day, and you guys, you know, jump in if you want and let me know what your thoughts are. But I think lesbians throw the most amazing parties. Have you ever been to a Lesbo party before?
Yeah, they had good meatballs and good cheese. It's true.
The Italian food is mighty fine. And yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You don't want to speak any, you know, on that?
I'm just trying to think of the last lesbian party that I went to. And I feel like it's also mixed together in my life right now. I don't know any lesbian parties. I know many lesbians. I've been to many parties with them, but never specifically a lesbian party. So
well,
I guess
it wasn't really specifically a lesbian party. I'm just saying, lesbians in general.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Your grandfather did, and they're like,
right. I'm kind of a lesbian, I guess. I mean, you know. Okay, we won't talk about that. But what I was trying to get at is that I think that lesbians possibly throw the best parties. Doesn't have to be like an all lesbian party or anything like that.
That's fair.
But this was an amazing party. They had all sorts of games planned. You know, we did the Lincoln log off, where we had to don Lincoln hats and beards, and then do like a timed contest building Lincoln log cabins.
I thought that was going to be awesome. Totally different kind of
Lincoln
log off.
That's way more
like,
PG
wow,
than
yeah,
I thought.
Right, yeah.
Right? Let's just say really quick here too that nothing that we talk about right now is the view of the Washington Bus Organization, right?
That's right.
Can
we
safely
even know
say
we're
that?
Here.
I think we can safely say that, and that's why you're feeding us beer, because trying to get below
beer.
The surface.
Yeah, and what are you drinking there, Sarah?
I'm drinking red bean bubble tea.
She's not just doing it to make us look bad by drinking
Oh,
beer.
My God.
It's delicious.
That sounds disgusting.
Not as disgusting. I had I had to purchase at the same time that Sarah got the red bean bubble tea basil seed drink, which isn't even as good tasting as that name suggests it isn't. So
it was,
how would you describe it? So you got a sip.
It's like sweet water with slimy seeds.
Yeah, I don't know. There was no basil involved in the making of that drink.
Not sure.
Yeah.
That sounds gross.
It was,
but back to your lesbian
really
party.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Okay, so lesbians, they throw great parties. And I was thinking to myself the other day that this could possibly be the reason why they can't get married. Because if they were to ever throw a wedding reception, it may be so awesome that the black hole opens up and like the universe is just totally swallowed in. So I think that I think we finally found out the truth.
So you're saying like lesbians are like the Large Hadrian Collider of parties.
Right.
Except
right.
They didn't create the world-ending black hole, which was the concern. So
well, you don't know that.
Oh, that's true. We haven't seen the lesbian wedding anniversary.
Yeah, see, it hasn't happened. It hasn't happened yet,
yeah.
So we can't say. But we also went to the Fremont Zombie Walk. It was the Guinness Book of World Record breaking zombie walk.
They got the record.
They got it. I think they had
good
something like
great for them.
Oh, God, what was it? 4,900 or something like that. I wanted to say 4,900. It might be somewhere around 14. But, you know, the whole point of the show is not to have your facts straight.
Nice.
So, yeah. You can email me if you know the answer. But, oh, my God, I got some great pictures of all sorts of different types of zombies. There were some really good ones, really good ones. And you guys can all go on the Facebook page and check that out.
4,000 zombies.
It was like 4,900.
Well, it's easy to do when it's like 60 degrees in July.
Yeah.
Everyone looks like a
zombie. Totally. Pasty white, bleeding from every orifice. That's how we do in Seattle.
It's just June
Saturday
in Seattle.
In Fremont. What are you talking about? There's no zombie walk.
Where's the I don't see. No, that's just Ted.
Okay. Yes. Okay, well, we're already on a roll here. I'd like to get right into some of our headlines, and let's see. Let's get this little sound drop here ready. All right. You know the sound of Current Affair. That means headlines on the error-raid.net podcast. Okay, well, our first story that we have here, and keeping with the kind of the politics theme that we got going on today, and I know that everybody's probably heard so much about this already, but I just wanted to kind of give my two cents. The Al Gore being accused of sexual harassment by this 54-year-old masseuse, Molly Haggerty. She claims that the former vice pres and inventor of the internets groped and fondled her while she was massaging him, you know. I just wanted, you know, this could have been, like, possibly, like, the most boring, like, sexual harassment ever that happened, you know, just knowing how monotone that guy is. And so what she had to say about him is, or she stated that she called him, or she said, "You are being a crazed sex poodle."
Ew.
Really? Him? Poodle?
Yeah.
Not the word I would have used.
Yeah, that's weird. That's
maybe
weird.
Maybe he was
maybe
still in
like
the beard phase.
Polar bear.
Yeah.
Maybe it's an indication of something about Al Gore's...
Something.
My question... About his member?
Maybe.
My question is, you know, did he try to do any like climate change dirty talk? Was it like, it's getting so hot in here? It's as if... Factories, 1,000 polluting factories.
We're making it really warm in this hotel room.
They're burning the ozone layer. Look, it's trapping everything. And then she was like, you're actually harassing me right now. He's like, oh, that's awkward.
Yeah, I mean, he could have just been going off on one of his speeches.
That's what I'm saying. It's a fine line. It's not a fine line. It's not a fine line at all.
Right. I don't know about this. And like this is supposedly this happened like 4 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. Why is it just now? Why is she just now coming to this? I mean, I know people in the Northwest are passive, but come on.
Right. You know? Oh, that's right. Yeah. She was in Portland.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's really passive aggressive.
She's super. Passive. She's like the
she
most passive
aggressive
person
ever. She buried
it for
years and was just like dropping hints.
Wait a
she's
minute.
Like, I'm okay. Poodle.
Every time she sees him on TV, she like gets this crazed sex poodle vision in her
she
head.
She twitters about
right,
it.
Right.
Something happened. I don't know what it was. Not to make light of sexual harassment. It's
right,
a very serious
right,
issue.
Right. But still, I mean.
But Al Gore is hilarious.
crazed sex poodle. Who the fuck says that? That is retarded.
That just sounds like.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It's like you're supposed to say sex kitten or something like that.
But
right?
Like, you don't say anything cutesy animal related if you're really not happy with what's going on. It's
right,
like you're
right.
being such a cute, deranged, like, psychopath
right,
when
like,
someone's chasing you
how
down.
How is that going
right.
to fend somebody off?
Yeah, you're being a sex poodle.
It's like,
oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I thought I was being a kitten.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could say like you're being like some sort of crazed sex Doberman or something like that. You know,
or like a really ugly dog, like a pug,
a hairless Chihuahua.
Ew.
With a snaggle tooth.
Again, back to more than we want to know about Aqua. Mm-hmm.
I'd picture it more as like a lab or something, you know. More like a Labrador.
He's loyal.
You know, just
because he's nice.
Well, and just kind of maybe like big and a little oafish and. I don't know, smart and loyal. He was with Tipper for all those years.
Wouldn't it be like Lassie? Like he's always looking out for danger and
oh yeah,
he could be
he's trying to send out warning signals. Yeah. Nobody's really listening.
Like, right, right.
Timmy fell down the damn well, and also I invented the internet and I googled it and I found global warming and it all just came together.
You know, it is strangely like tied in with the Tipper and Al's separation.
Though. Right, that's what I wanted to bring up next. Yeah. Is that kind of happened all at the same time? And I think wasn't it, Toby? You were saying earlier that it was the National Enquirer that she sold her story to, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know, but
for the record, I said no such thing. Just kidding.
You didn't? Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought I was in trouble there.
You're like, uh-oh. Right. Yeah, no. I think it's the National Enquirer, and that was the thing. It was like, this is the second time, because somebody else got busted by the National Enquirer. Was it Elliot
right,
Spencer?
It was John Edwards.
John Edwards. Oh. That's who it was.
Right?
Like,
yeah, they got pictures of him holding, like, his love child.
Yeah.
You know?
Who would have ever thought that the National Enquirer would be, like, the political investigation?
Totally.
Well, they probably pay the most. They probably pay the most for, like, explicit pictures.
And also UFO settings.
And yes.
If at all possible.
Bill Clinton smoking a cigar with an alien. Yeah, exactly. Like that. On the front lawn on a hot day.
But the real scandal there was a Cuban cigar.
Right, right. That might have been the Globe, though. The Globe kind of does those crazy stories sometimes, like Bat Boy or whatever his name was.
How do those places stay in business? Like, I mean, really? Like, if they're spending that much money on a cover story, like, I know you have to pay reporters, but like, and you can, if a story comes to you, you're probably paying similar, but like, really? Like,
right, right.
I don't know. It's the concept.
Well, don't you guys ever, I mean, you're walking through like the grocery line or something like that and you stop and look at it. I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot of people out there like my brother who will actually stop and buy it.
Your brother who will go unnamed.
Right.
Yeah. My impulse purchases generally trend towards like Altoids and Us Weekly. So it's really, yeah.
You read Us Weekly?
No, I don't.
That's so lame.
I actually did buy a... I didn't. I should clarify. My girlfriend bought an Us Weekly, but I encouraged her to. So I feel responsible for it.
You know, my wife and the beautiful producer of this show, Mairead, she likes People.
And oh, the magazine, not just
yeah,
the...
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, not just... No, she hates people. Actual people, but she really likes the magazine. And she, I mean, I get sucked into that shit, dude. I you know, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie.
Totally. Yeah. It's totally black hole-ish. It's like as if lesbians had gotten married and just thrown a big wedding reception.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's how they do it.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle.
Call back.
So, I know this is kind of going to be bad to bring up, but can you imagine trying to give Al Gore a happy ending?
Oh.
I would just... Would prefer not to.
All right. I think
nobody would. I think that's exactly why Tipper and he separate. She's like, I just can't.
Right. Win. I can't bring myself to do it anymore.
Well, look at Tipper's
no catch. Is that what you were going to say? Tipper Gore, defender of clean, non potty mouths and hater of the rap musics. The rappers and those who sing them?
Yes.
Well, I hope that, you know, whatever the result of this, these allegations are, I hope it ends fairly.
Yeah, I would hope so too. I mean, I don't, you know, I personally don't see Al Gore doing something like that because I think he's smart enough to know the position that he's in and how much he stands to lose
well,
if that's
he would
something
just,
like
he's
that.
He's got the
out.
Money. He would just pay a hooker.
Right, right.
But, you know, these guys, I mean.
There's got to be tons of hookers in Portland too.
It's all strippers, hookers, and. More strippers. I don't know. Yeah. But the thing is, like,
no offense to our listeners in Portland.
Nah. We love the Oregon bus.
We do. So the thing is, though, like, these things never are about logic, right? This is like somebody who's like in a weird situation. There's some weird power dynamic at work, and that's exactly what comes out of it.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
like, everyone was like, what's it there? Tiger Woods. Like, what the hell are you? Like, obviously, he's got a beautiful wife, and like, It's not about that. So people do dumb stuff. So I would believe anything, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right, right.
Like, I would believe that Al Gore created the internet.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
based on that alone. But the beard...
You got to watch out for Man Bear Pig, too, apparently.
Man Bear Pig. I don't know what that is.
South Park.
Ah.
They make fun of... Al Gore discovers Man Bear Pig. We'll edit that part out.
I will have to go watch South Park. Ironically, on our work website, our pictures, our profile pictures,
our South Park characters. Yeah. I noticed that.
But I don't really like watching South Park. Like, not that I don't like it, but I don't watch it. And
does it rub you the wrong way, Toby?
Not usually. Sometimes, but then that's the whole point of South Park.
Yeah.
If it didn't rub me the wrong way, like, I'm probably their demographic to a T. It's like, I'm hairy, I'm a guy, like, I like the jokes that are at the very basic gross level, but also, like, the one step down, like, oh, they're referencing that level. And so, I mean, I should like most of it, I suppose.
I think you should, too, actually. I love that show.
I'll stop being
a jerk. Did you see that episode? So I just recently saw the episode with the Andean flute players or whatever, you know, like the band, and how... Did you see this one?
Okay. No. Is it an older episode? Or is it like...
It's not that old. It's pretty new, but apparently like all the, you know, all those like South American music players, like flute players,
right,
like bands that are everywhere, they are like controlling the balance in the universe of pee in... amusement parks, like water parks.
Oh yes.
Yeah, did you see that one?
I did see that.
So the INS, like, or ICE or whatever, came and deported all of the South American like flute bands, and then the pee flooded the entire world.
Entire world, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Or
threatened to destroy the whole world. The pee from the water park.
This is what I'm missing. Like, how do you come up with that? I don't know. That's crazy.
It was really gross, and the kids had to end up like swimming like down through it and stuff to, like, you know, like any sort of action movie, they gotta go and hold their breath underneath and stuff.
That was awesome.
Ends up taking like a big gulp of it or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh god, it's
Speaking of Andean pipe musicians, I will say I saw a sad thing. I was in Vancouver a couple weekends ago, and I was at the Richmond Night Market, and there's a bunch of performances going on, and there was one Andean pipe music player. Usually it's a whole team, it's just one guy, and it was him, and he had a speaker set up, and he was playing all the other parts, and it was just him, and I felt really bad for him, because usually it's like a group of four or five guys.
And that's all. Like running around,
and he was just sitting there playing. He was I feel bad for this guy. Anyway, that's all I got on that. That's, walk away.
Well, speaking, you can
edit that part out too.
Right, I'll edit that part. Well, actually, no, because you brought it right to where I wanted it to go. That's a great segue for bringing us to our next news story. We'll hit our nice little current affair sound effect here. That we couldn't hear for some reason. I don't know. But it's up there, so it worked. Anyway, news story number two. The artist formerly known as Prince.
Wait, he's now the artist formerly known as Prince?
No, he's Prince again, I think.
He's Prince, but he used to be the artist formerly known. So
Prince again. Okay,
That was kind of the joke.
That's awesome.
What is in that bubble tea, sir?
Yeah, what the hell have you been drinking there?
What flavor is that?
Buddy?
I'm a joke maker.
anyway, so I'm sure everybody's kind of heard this now, too, because it's pretty hilarious. Prince has now declared... in an interview with the Daily Mirror, that the internet is completely over.
Tell that to Al Gore. Al Gore disputes that fact.
Right, like, exactly.
I started
exactly.
That
yeah, Al Gore's going to invent something else to like rid the world of Prince now. I think everybody would agree with me by saying that this statement might be a little bit premature. You know, I think the internet's still doing pretty good. You know, there's Facebook. What does Facebook have? Like something like 14 billion.
They've got people on Mars doing it.
I guess that's a little bit more than the population of Earth.
Yeah, 14 billion. Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah. Couple years.
Someday.
Well, and we're on the internets, right?
Right.
Now.
Right. Yeah, you guys do a lot of your organization on the internet. I do this show on the internet.
Yeah, without the internet, damn. I don't know what the world would be like without the internet.
Right.
I'm pretty sure Prince is wrong on this.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure too. But, you know, he could somehow, I mean, Prince has got a lot of money. He's got a lot of resources at his disposal. And I pose the question to both of you and all of you out there who are listening, which would be me, my wife, and now you two, would be, you know, does Prince have some information that maybe we don't? You know, maybe he could be the owner of some sort of hot tub time machine and, you know, be looking straight into the future of the internet.
Or, I mean, will Prince simply by royal decree rule that the internet is no longer allowed?
He is a prince.
He is a prince.
One day he will be king.
And in that day comes.
Sarah's bored as
say
shit.
Say goodbye to your podcasts and your Twitters.
It's hard for me to believe that Prince doesn't know what he's talking about here.
It's hard for you to believe that Prince doesn't know what he's talking about.
I love the guy.
The guy is crazy. The guy's nuts. What are you talking about? The guy's crazy. He changed his name to a symbol for like 5
Although,
years.
I will say, if anything defines him as being sane, that is because what that did was it got him out of a contract, a recording contract, because he had a contract for up for a certain amount of time.
Oh, really?
So
is
he
that
didn't
what it
have to make
about?
Crappy albums for this for his contract. He got out of it. It was a brilliant move. Insane, but something that only a person who walks the line between crazy and absolute genius could pull off.
See?
So that
See?
So that was genius. See? But this
I'm
seems
sorry
to be
I
evidence.
You, Sarah.
This,
oh,
I'm saying,
you
though,
are
this
amazing.
Is evidence. He's back to crazy, though. I mean, there's no saying he hasn't crossed
right,
over that
right.
line.
Well, apparently he did this interview with the Daily Mirror in his private nightclub, which is inside of his mansion. And he was wearing some sort of robe. He had a banana milkshake in one hand, and his girlfriend was standing there in a ball gown with nobody else around. There's nobody else around. This is just a two-person interview, but she's standing there in this like extravagant ball gown. And then they have all these TVs up on the side of the wall that are playing clips of Soul Train. So apparently, I mean, you know, he obviously is living in some other time. You know, that he doesn't
medieval.
Need the internet. He took his official website down. His website's off the internet now.
Forward thinking. That's what we call forward thinking.
Does that mean you could just pirate his music with impunity now? Is he just
no,
not
you
police?
Can't. Well, here's the thing is that he is refusing to give the rights to the music to like places like the iTunes store and other internet outlets.
Because that shit does not exist at all.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, he said something along the lines of like they wouldn't pay him up front for it. Something like that. So now he's taking his revenge on Apple by, you know, telling everybody that the internet is dead. I think Steve Jobs might have a one up on him though.
He's like, yeah, cool. Okay, let me check my iPhone 4.
Yeah.
I have an iPhone
exactly.
6, and I'm just not even caring what you're saying. I'm
He's
trying
like,
to
you're recording the album right now? Huh, I already have the whole thing.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I already downloaded that shit. So I'm trying to find out who is Prince's girlfriend, because that really is interesting to me.
Are you looking it up on your iPhone?
I'm looking it up. I don't even have an iPhone. This is a My Touch, my flip.
Nice.
I don't even know. I used to have a crappy phone. Now I'm in the future. Hello, Prince. Hello.
Toby just learned how to text message.
Shut up. Ironically, you're right.
Well, so, you know, I mentioned this, but, like, I was in Minneapolis a few years ago, and you should email Aaron if anybody knows the name of this barbecue joint in Minneapolis. But I went to this barbecue joint. It was really good. And in the middle of the place, there was this giant table, and it had a curtain that was, like, you know, the curtain didn't go all the way around it, but it could. It was on, like, a curtain rod,
and it was a
purple curtain, and I was like, what is that, what's that for? And you know, and the woman who was our waitress was like, oh, well, when Prince comes, that's the table that he likes to sit at, and that's so he wants privacy. And I was just like, wow,
that's amazing.
It's amazing.
So
I mean,
wait a minute,
that guy's got pull in
yeah,
Minneapolis.
Well, yeah, totally.
At barbecue like, joints in Minneapolis.
Barbecue joints, right. So wait a minute, so I think what's more amazing about that story is that Prince, does he live in Minneapolis?
Yeah,
he does. Yep.
I would think that like Prince would live in somewhere like Bali or something. Some crazy place, you know?
He can't spend too much time in
Minneapolis. Minneapolis is kind of crazy.
Is it?
No. Midwest crazy.
Well, he has like his own. He has his mansion, like apparently with nightclub.
With a nightclub, yeah. In it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And but it's like it's on one of those lakes. I only know to say Minnetonka from the Dave Chappelle sketch, but I don't know if that's accurate at all.
You know, I tried to find a sound clip of him going, "What was the line out of the Chappelle show?
Game
blouses. Oh,
blouses. I keep saying
blouses. Will you do the sound drop for me then?
Blouses.
What about the one with the pancakes?
Yeah. What did he say? He goes, "I." I don't even know. Then he invited us inside and made pancakes. That's what it is.
Here's your pancakes, bitches.
Yeah, exactly.
Something like that. Yeah.
It was, I wish I could say it. So Charlie Murphy goes, nice game. I got to say it was a nice game. He goes, I wish I could say for the same for you and your band of flunkies. And he flips pancakes onto his head. It's Prince in the Revolution.
So he was also quoted as saying, the internet is like MTV. At one time, MTV was hip, and suddenly it became outdated. So, I mean, he's kind of burning. He totally has it. Yeah, that's a great point. But he's trying. He's like burning some bridges here.
Internet, like Mr. Internet, Sir Robert Internet, inventor of the internet, who doesn't like Al Gore, incidentally, is sitting there going, "This son of a bitch."
Sir Robert Internet. Sir
what did they named it after? He discovered that shit.
You are lying.
You're a liar. Wow. Wow. Who knew? The people that worked at the Washington bus were total liars.
Total liars. So you give me, you can put a PBR on me. So incidentally, Prince's girlfriend is someone named Bria. She goes one name. She has been his girlfriend since 2008. But according to this website, whodatedwho.com, he's had 7 girlfriends, which I find probably low.
I think he's secretly... He's secretly a gay man. Mm-mm. You don't think so?
Nope.
He's so effeminate, though.
You can be effeminate.
Metrosexual?
Straight.
Metrosexual?
I wouldn't call him metrosexual.
Have you seen the manicure on them?
He's more like circus sexual.
Yeah, circus sexual. That would be a little
pansexual. Yeah, that's probably a real thing.
Cirque du Soleil sexual.
I
don't know. I think he's just kind of losing it because maybe. Okay, on top of him saying no to iTunes, and you know, taking his own website down, you know, which was kind of a stupid move, I think. He agreed with the Daily Mirror that he would put a free copy of his new record in the Daily Mirror coming up soon, which is based in London.
In London, yeah. Huh.
So he's giving away his album for free. Rather than getting 99 cents a song.
Really, if he's going to give it away for free, he might as well just put it up on...
MySpace or something.
Yeah, the internet of some...
I mean, it's good. I mean, does
the
he really
is
think...
dead.
Yeah, yeah.
I keep forgetting.
He's just blocking it out of his mind. He's just, you know, if I keep on saying it to myself, it'll go away kind of thing.
Is he a Scientologist?
Probably. I mean, from the sound of this interview, yeah.
He's like a no science tall...
Scientologist.
But really, I think he might be a Scientologist.
I'm interested to see what happens.
You're gonna play the devil's advocate here
with his no internet. I will say that is like what, like really, like what is he going to accomplish with not, like, I don't care if it's not hip, it's here to stay. I think roads are out. I don't think roads are in. It's like, I just won't use them anymore. It's like, well, you're going to have a really tough time like not getting on a road in the next couple of years, buddy. So,
air is very overrated.
Air is totally overrated.
Yeah.
If you're Prince, apparently.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I think he's kind of losing it, maybe. But on that note, I think we're going to go to our first musical break. So we're going to play a song for you here, and if I can find it, let's see here. You guys talk amongst yourselves as I search for music.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
I found it.
It was nice talking to you.
So we're going to hear Timeless Melody by The Laws, and we'll be back in a moment. are back. AirRaid.net. And we have Toby. Damn it, I turned the page and I don't have your last name again.
Crittenden. It's like Crittenden, only. I don't know. Hard to say.
And Sarah Nason. Miss Sarah Nason. Okay, so you guys work for an organization called the Washington Bus. And so why don't you go for it? Tell us tell us what your organization does.
Well, here's what I'm angry about. No, okay. The bus. What does the bus do, Sarah?
We are an organization that works to get young people more engaged and involved in politics across Washington State, so specifically local politics.
Okay.
So we do that through any number of vehicles. Vehicles, the bus.
Lots of puns involved in the bus.
We do voter registration, get out the vote stuff. So we try to like talk to people about the importance of voting, which is kind of the more boring stuff. The more fun stuff is that we really try to engage people through like music, arts, and culture. So we go to where a lot of, you know, instead of a lot of political organizations will have like candidate forums or do different things, we go to where young people are. We really meet them where they're at and talk to them about voting and getting involved.
Yeah. Everything we do is really sort of geared at the idea of, like Sarah said, meeting people where they are. And so the whole idea is that if you take politics and try to make it fun, you're just going to end up with sort of a corny mishmash of people wearing sunglasses and doing thumbs up. But if you take things that are actually already fun, that people actually want to be involved with, and inject them with politics, all of a sudden you've got this whole like shift in the paradigm of how people think about political action versus what they want to do. Because the end goal of all of what we're doing is not just that people register to vote and vote in this election. It's not just they do it for the next 2 years, but it's that we actually build like a cultural tipping point in Washington State and really, you know, the whole country ideally, that leads to political engagement and involvement being a part of the cultural everyday stuff that is seen as something you do because it's enjoyable, it's something that everyone else does, and there's a cultural pressure towards it.
That's really cool. So when you say that you guys find things that are already fun that the younger generation wants to get involved in, give us a couple examples. You said during the break that you guys had some people at the Zombie Walk, which I think I saw, because you have the Vote Bot that's out there hanging around. Mm-hmm. And Capitol Hill Block Party.
Yeah, we're actually co-sponsors of Capitol Hill Block Party. We've been co-sponsors now. This is our fourth year. Which is wild. It was the first event before Sarah and I worked for the bus, back when it was like totally bootstraps and like we don't know what we're doing, like, you know, chewing gum holding the whole thing together. The Block Party was the first event that we ever did, and it's a perfect example in my mind, because what the Block Party is thousands and thousands, literally, of young people jammed into one location doing what they love the most, which is music. It's you know, just like being in a scene that they enjoy being in, and it's interacting with their peers in a way that is exactly where they want to be. And what we do is we give them popsicles.
The political act of popsicles.
Okay. You didn't know, did you, that frozen fruit was that charged with power?
Or frozen high fructose corn syrup, right?
How did you know?
You get all your popsicles at Whole Foods.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Okay. We're all a front. We're a front for big pharma or ag, I guess, in this case. So what we do is we give folks popsicles, and what we do is we change the whole dynamic. We have thousands of people coming to our booth at the Block Party. Answering a pop quiz about sort of Washington State politics, sort of Washington State, sort of whatever. There's a bunch of different questions they can answer. Mm-hmm. And then they answer the questions correctly, make sure everyone does. You get a popsicle. It's very simple. It's a hot day. Today in Seattle, it is finally warm, and it is hot. And it's going to be even hotter then. They get a popsicle, and after they get a popsicle, what happens, Sarah?
Then we reel them in.
Sarah pulls out her baseball bat, hits them over the head, pulls them into the bus, which is waiting, stuffs them in the cargo container, drives them away.
Yep. Now, do you guys actually have a bus?
Running for state senator. We do actually have a bus. It's a 1979 MCI. It's a diesel.
1989.
Sorry, 1989.
It's a whole year, 10 years off its life.
It's really pretty. It has red and gray stripes, red and silver stripes. But yeah, it's a bus that we use to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, we do, we actually do some candidate support. So we are, you know, like I said, we're working to get, you know, more young people engaged in politics. And one of the ways we do that is by really working to get more young people, more people of color, more women elected to office in Washington State.
Cool.
And then we also support candidates who are, who really go to bat for young people and who support young people's issues around the state. So we do candidate support in terms of like organizing a bunch of volunteers. We pile on a bus. We go to where that candidate is running and we go knock on doors. So we knock on doors for that candidate, but we infuse it with like barbecues and fun. And so it's not just like a day of, you know, canvassing and knocking on doors. It's actually like having a good time with your friends.
Cool.
It's a social experience that, that you come out of it at the end of a day with having had this amazing start to finish experience of people who've never done anything political before. Mm-hmm. And they come out of it saying, I had fun. I know that with the people I was with, I knocked on 2,000 doors in one day. I met somebody who's running for office, which for a lot of people is like this huge deal. For us, we're like, ah, that guy's running for office. For people who aren't involved in politics, it's a huge thing to meet somebody who might actually be a sitting state representative or senator.
Right.
And to have them be really appreciative of them being there, like, that's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And they come out of that whole sort of spread of stuff knowing that, that they can actually do this, that it can be enjoyable, that it's not this big, scary black box that you throw people into an outcome political people. It's just this very simple thing. It just demystifies the whole process.
Yeah,
and that's so much of the power.
Now, that's a that's really cool that you guys actually get the people who are running for office involved.
Oh, yeah.
Get them out and meeting the young people, because I think that is severely lacking in today's politics, is that there's a lot of politicians out there that are not getting that involved. They're going to their yacht clubs, blah, blah, blah. You know, things that they're comfortable doing, right? So I think that's really cool that, that you guys are getting them out there and getting kids and you know, new voters out there to actually meet these people and be able to ask questions.
Yeah.
Now, do you find that that young people, especially today, are young people beginning to become more receptive to politics?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's never as simple as saying yes they are or no they aren't as a whole. What we see time and time again, nationally and on local levels all over the country, is people, when they put resources and energy into engaging young people respond.
Right.
And when young people respond, progressive issues all across the board win. And what we also see time and time again is people not putting resources into engaging young people, and then after Election Day wondering, where do the young people go? Why didn't they vote?
Right. I mean, where's that voter bracket?
Exactly. And it's like it's the only demographic that people don't do work with and are constantly surprised when they don't show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking about this a little bit during the break too, but the millennial generation, the generation of young people that are coming up today, are going to be the largest voting bloc in U.S. history, bigger than the baby boomers, I mean, bigger than any generation before. And they're the most diverse generation ever. You know, they are, they have information at their fingertips. I mean, this generation looks different than any generation before. And the amount of political power that they have is incredible.
Yeah.
So it's really just a matter. I mean, if you're willing to talk to people, if you're willing to organize young people, like just the results will be incredible. They have so much power.
Right. And I think that was one of the real amazing things about the Obama phenomenon. I like to call it kind of a phenomenon, because they had this amazing power of getting the younger generation out there and getting them involved with the use of the internet. And I think they kind of, you know, there may have been a couple people before them that really utilized YouTube and those different sources, those internet sources to kind of get their message out. But I think Obama did a really great job of really mobilizing the younger generation.
Absolutely.
By getting that stuff out there. So you guys have a website, and that's washingtonbus.org, right? Now,
we are about to have a hot new website.
Hot new!
If you go to our website now,
it looks kind of like a cupcake.
It kind of looks like a cupcake. you should check out our blog.
Explain that a little bit.
You have to go see it. I won't explain any further because I want you to go to our website. Washingtonbus.org. Look for the cupcake. You'll know what I mean when you see it.
Even better, check out our blog. It's Hella Bus. hellabus.org.
I did. I checked that out today.
Yes.
Yeah. And that gets updated more regularly. Mm-hmm. We have interns who are doing postings every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've just, it's so, that's a little bit more dynamic. And our new website will have our blog featured on the homepage.
Oh, great. So oh, great. And I noticed, too, that it's not all political, too.
Oh, certainly not. Yeah.
There's, there was a blog posting on the Hella blog, or Hella Bus, that I saw, it was a couple weeks ago, about Big Boy's new album.
Oh, yeah.
Look, there should be a review of that up on by Wednesday. Our, the person responsible for writing that didn't show up today, so oh, okay. He's in hot water. But yeah, that's exactly it. Well, that's, it gets back to the whole mission of the bus, exactly.
Right,
and
right.
Like that's sort of what's been nice about the blog, is it's really able to encapsulate that idea that we're not like creating an artificial silo between what it means to be political and what it means to be cultural and what it means to be care about, you know, Washington state issues versus federal issues, to mm-hmm. care about anybody who lives in their own neighborhood. They know exactly what the issues are in their neighborhood, and that's an extremely political thing.
Right.
But it's the idea of catching that like everyday experience and what you already regard as normal in your life to what you might regard as abnormal, which is taking political action or seeing it connected to a political, larger
right,
political
right.
dialogue.
And also seeing what is important to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell a quick little story about
here's a little
Sunny.
Story.
So we have this intern, Sunny, and he's actually our intern coordinator now. But he started off as a volunteer with the bus, and he went to Franklin High School. He just graduated mm-hmm. last year. And, you know, we came to talk to one of his classrooms, and he got involved. And, you know, he loves the idea of civic engagement. So he's, you know, he's unique in that way. He's, like, already like, pretty active. But he just, like, the buses was just so perfect for him. It was just a good fit. It was a place where he could really be himself. And just, anyway, he just fit in so well, you know. And he came to us last year, and he was, like, he was so pissed. He was just, like, you know, all my favorite teachers at Franklin are getting laid off. And they're all the young teachers. They're the teachers who don't have seniority, but they're the ones mm-hmm. whose jobs are being cut. And it sucks because there's a lot of teachers who aren't good and they're sticking around only because they've been there forever and it's not
right,
fair.
Right.
I'm really mad about it. I'm not sure what to do. I want to organize a bunch of students, you know. And so what we were able to do at the bus, I mean, we were able to, you know, combine our experience and some of the resources we have. I mean, I think I gave him like $20 or something to go buy materials, you know, but like, we helped him design a postcard that he could use so he could capture people's information to follow up with them and send them emails about coming to school board hearings. We talked to him about how to organize a rally and how to get, you know, get young people involved. And mm-hmm. he ended up organizing a huge student rally to really speak up about something that he cares so much about. So that to me is what the bus is really all about. It's not about saying, here's these issues that young people should care about. It's about, here's this place where as a young person, we can help you, we can help provide a platform for you to speak up on the issues that you care about.
Right, right.
And to get some real tangible skills, real tangible effectiveness that, mm-hmm. that even people you know, twice your age don't have, which is mm-hmm. a really common thing. One thing I would add to that is like based on those experiences with Sunny and other interns, over the last couple of years, we actually launched the Summer Fellows program. And the Summer Fellows are our summer leadership crew. So basically, one of our coworkers, Molly, runs this amazing program that every summer, this year it's 18 fellows who come from literally all over the state, from Tenino to Spokane, to
Yakima,
to just down the street in Seattle. And they have 9 weeks of the most intensive campaign experience, really, that you're going to get outside of an actual campaign. And what they learn is not just, they learn classroom experience book skills from some of the best organizers in the state. And they also spend half their time out in the field actually designing and executing a field plan. This year, it's getting people to pledge to vote using the vote bot and the vote bot army tactics
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That you saw at Zombie Walk. But really going through the entire process of figuring out how do you run a field plan? How do you get volunteers to come to an event? How do you get media around an event? How do you build out this whole structure that if you've never done it, it's a completely foreign object? And so at the end of this program, we have 18 young people who can be injected into any campaign around any corner of the state and be amazingly effective campaign managers. And these are the same folks who, like Sunny, could be organizing work at their schools. They could be working on any level of campaign. I would be confident in them.
Right, right.
And they could also, hopefully, they'll be running for office sometime soon. So this is like a very specific thing. That these are people who are getting leadership skills now to let them take that first step into the political arena that will let them be the leaders that we need them to be in this coming years.
That's great. So I guess with that said, one thing that made me think of is that there, you know, what I saw, especially in the last presidential election, is that there are a lot of people that are severely lacking in being able to, differentiate between, truth and kind of truth. You know, like, are you helping with those skills? Is that something that your organization does? Is try yeah. to, you know, you got to look at things from both sides of the spectrum a lot of the time. The American people as a whole are very, chopped up.
Yeah.
A lot of people with a lot of different ideas. So is that something that you guys have been focusing on? And
certainly.
Is that something that you see a lot too? Is that the, one-sided point of view thing?
Has
got to go, in my opinion.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that's one sided. I just think it's just been so... we're being sort of... It's easy, if you want to be political, to be pulled to a pole.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And what we are, we're a nonpartisan organization, so we don't support one party. We are not funded by any parties or government agencies or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
What separates us and how we approach our work is that we look at this from an issues-based perspective, and we don't sort of make discriminations based on whether you come from one party, one area, anything like that. And that changes how we analyze issues. So if you look at like how we write about even Initiative 1098, which I know we're going to get to in a little bit, is this is an issue that really is not about, some people put it into this sort of good versus bad category. We're not about good versus bad. We're not the people yelling at the people yelling. We're the people who sort of look at what are the actual effects? What do we get from this? What is the positive step? We're not left. We're not right. We're forward. We're like going between.
I like
and
that.
Straight ahead. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I totally just made that up right now.
This is why Sarah brought you.
It's written on the side of our refrigerator.
It's written on the side of our refrigerator. I couldn't think of it. I was like, not left, not right, but straight. That doesn't sound right.
We don't say straight.
Yeah. Don't say
straight,
that.
Not narrow.
This is Seattle's people.
No, that is one thing that I do love about our organization is that we're like disgustingly, relentlessly positive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we won't be those people like shouting at the Rossi people across the street, or we won't.
Right, right.
You know, we try to. I mean, and we do have allies that's their tactic, and that's fine for them. But
mm-hmm.
we really, I mean, we've seen, and we ourselves have been so burnt out by the just like the cutthroat tactics that happen so often in politics that we just really shy away from that.
Yeah,
and we found that it's been just hugely successful. I mean, it's like, it's refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air for a lot of people who are engaged in politics that just come to us because they're just like, it's just too intense. People are just too mean, and it's bullshit. And we don't have to be that way, We don't have to be that way.
Well, that's
it. Bullshit.
That's,
it makes me angry. I hate those people. Too much negativity.
Well, that's definitely, that's a great point, too. And I think that's probably why you guys have done so well with the more youthful of our generation, because a lot of the times when you turn on the news, you hear people yelling at each other about all sorts of different stuff, and it gets really confusing really quick because a lot of those people doing the yelling, on either side of the spectrum, the political spectrum, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So
you don't know who to believe. You're like, that guy makes sense. That guy makes sense. That guy makes sense. And
that's what I'm talking about. when I said before, like there's truth and then there's kind of truth. A lot of the times in these political ads that you see, there's a lot of stuff there that just isn't right, and it's pieced together and it's edited down to something that can forward the candidate's message. So I think that's great that you guys see it that way.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We like it.
It's fun.
Yeah, and it's fun. I mean, it's fun to be, because people don't understand what we do a lot of times. Like, if you look at folks in both parties, I think both people on those sort of extreme, more extreme poles have perceptions of what they think we are, and we aren't either of their perceptions. Some people think we don't do enough, some people do too much, this and that. And it's like, well, we do our own thing. And our goal is not to fit into... Again, we said before, changing the paradigm, our goal is not to fit into one place on the spectrum, but to really redefine what it means to be in the spectrum in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's deep, dude.
Yeah, wow.
I'm so high right now.
Should we say again that these are not necessarily the views of
and I'm having PBR for the record. There are photographic evidence of just PBR.
Okay. Let's move on just a little bit on that
personnel file.
It's personnel policy.
On that note, let's move on. So you got I saw this a little while ago on I think Sarah's Facebook page because we are Facebook friends.
Mm-hmm.
The best of friends nowadays.
That's right.
BFFF.
Yeah, that's right.
Best
that's right.
Facebook friends forever.
Yes. It's totally not true. let's see. You guys are supporting Initiative 1098, and that is the Washington. That is for the Washington State income tax.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a little reading up on this today.
Crap.
Yeah. and I'm still kind of on the fence about it. So yeah. what can you tell the people listening to the show about Initiative 1098?
Well, what I love about Initiative 1098 is that it's not, it's been billed as like this income tax thing, but right. In my mind, it's the first step in what we need in terms of a sort of a restructuring of the tax structure in Washington State. And that is mm-hmm. a really unsexy topic, but it's really important. I'm going to see if I can get my facts absolutely correct, but I believe the lowest income 3% of folks in Washington State pay 17% of their income in taxes.
And that's with sales tax and property tax, right, exactly. Things like that.
Yeah. And that's bad, but that's not the whole story. I mean, the whole story mm-hmm. is that there's a lot of weird tax things in Washington State because we've never had this debate on this level because it's a hard thing to talk about. And so there's this three parts of Initiative 1098. The first is that it basically provides a tax credit for the B&O tax, which effectively eliminates the B&O tax. So that's small businesses, that's local businesses, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. basically getting a huge tax break.
Right.
It's a
20... And that's the business and occupation tax.
Exactly, right? Yeah. B&O, yeah, business and occupation. The second thing is that it lowers property taxes by, I believe, 20%.
20%,
yeah,
yes.
And I should have had my eye flip thing open earlier.
Oh, man, it's such a good thing I read that.
But 20%, which is huge. I mean, as a homeowner, that's not a small thing to sniff at.
It's, yeah.
Especially when so much of the concern has been around property taxes, but you see from the initiative process the last mm-hmm, couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then the last part is the high earners income tax. And that's, and I think that's, you know, it's, what is it? I'm going to get my facts right here. Wealthiest 3% of households, if you're a couple, if you're making over 400,000, and that's up to 200,000 for individuals. So it's a really small number of folks. The benefit from that is going to be over $1 billion after like all the sort of trade-offs are balanced out,
right,
for,
right.
And that goes 70% to education and 30% to healthcare. So right. this is money that is going towards maintaining our basic health plan,
uh-huh.
so that when we are looking at the federal government's healthcare plan to kick in, their plan only works if they basically say you've been doing this, like you've been doing X amount of healthcare money spending, so we will use that as our baseline for what we're giving you. So if we right. cut all of that, then we're not getting in the federal money.
Yeah. And what do you say to the people that, you know, kind of feel like, because this is, you know, truthfully, this has been kind of the crux of trying to get an income tax passed mm-hmm. in the state of Washington,
yeah.
is that, you know, politicians in the past have said, you know, okay, well, we're going to pass this tax now, but it's never going to go past this
right,
point.
Right.
And so, at, you know, 10 years down the line, you know, 5 years down the line, it gets changed and kind of, you know, the bar gets lowered.
Right.
So do you see that happening with this?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say, too, that, like, my views aren't of the Washington bus. And this is what my
but oh, I, no. You know, I grew up, oh, geez.
Well, I grew up in a state, and, I mean, we have a really horrible economy right now, but I grew up in a state that always had a state income tax as long as I have been working. And
Michigan?
Had, yeah, and had yeah. a really low sales tax. So our sales tax is about 4%.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our sales tax now is 10%, right? It's mm-hmm. just at 10%.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if we think about restructuring our tax system in Washington State and actually making it more equitable across the board, a state income tax is not unreasonable. If it's combined with lowering those taxes that are more regressive, I mean, a 10% sales tax is insane here, and it affects everybody
right,
across
right.
the board. You know, I mean, like, when you're talking about buying clothes for your kids, when you talk about buying, like, appliances, those are things that people, no matter what your income bracket, you have to buy, mm-hmm. and you're paying that mm-hmm. same amount of tax. So it's not equitable. When you're paying a sales tax, or when you're paying an income tax, you know, you're paying a tax based on the amount of money that you earn. It's a more equitable tax structure.
Right. And now, is that part of Initiative 1098 then? Well, I know that the property tax would get lowered
and the BNO,
or cut by 20%. A BNO would get lowered by how much?
It would be basically eliminated.
It's a credit that covers all the remaining.
Yeah.
So would it lower the sales tax then?
No.
No, it wouldn't. Yeah. Okay. So the sales tax in the state of Washington would still stay at 10%.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I guess the thing that I like to think about when I think about 1098 is not like speaking about getting away from sort of like the yelling, like I don't like thinking of it as there's sort of some people are framing it as it's like a equality thing, it's a pay your fair share, it's like get the rich thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are putting it that way. I really don't like that because in my mind it's not against anything. What it is it's for education, it's for healthcare. It's for very basic things that our state should be providing for. And what I would love to see, and you know, we are working with a campaign and it's sort of shifting from signature gathering to actual campaigning, but the number that I'm going to be asking them for is, you know, how many schools does this affect? How many teachers does this save? How many people does this keep on basic health care? Because that's what I care about. Right. I'm for equality. I'm for, you know, economic system that's balanced. But more than that, I'm for everyone being able to go to school, and I'm for everyone being able to have healthcare coverage.
Yeah.
And that's what I support. And I want to know exactly what this does for the community that I live in and for my state, because I think that's the thing that will resonate well with a lot of folks.
Right, right. And also, I got to add, too, is that the what I read today is that the Initiative 1098, if you are in that income tax bracket that it applies to, here in the state, that's also, is it also a federal tax credit with the federal income tax?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything federal because there's a federal income tax.
Yeah, I know that. But yeah. would I thought that I read that. Well, I should edit that.
You mean the same people that would be taxed here in Washington might be receiving a tax credit at the federal level?
Right.
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything about that, but possible.
I thought that I had read that. I don't know if that's all hearsay, people.
Well, this is hearsay too, but
also the internet doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So.
According to Prince,
we can say whatever
this is all
going to
be gone soon, so it doesn't matter.
So I was just in a meeting this afternoon where somebody was saying that in order for the tax credit or the tax to apply to you, this high earners income tax, you have to earn like you have to make like $96 an hour or something like that.
Right. It's 400 like
400,000 for a couple,
yeah.
And 200,000 for an individual.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
That's like and a those, week's you know, salary for me.
You know, and I always hate saying this. Right. Yeah, I always hate saying this, but you know the people in that bracket can definitely afford it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it's not like that. That's gonna hurt them,
right? I mean, that's sort of the counter argument. Like,
that's socialist.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty sure you're un-American, by the way.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is how
patriotism
states,
just flew out the window.
Yeah, I know. On the seventh of July,
on the back of
6th of July,
burning eagle.
We're not here. No, the thing that amazes me is that this is like such a big deal to folks, but it's because it's change. And change, like, not in the Obama sense of the word, but like in the actual, like, people fear changing the status quo. Inertia is a hell of a thing. And it's, you look at the number of states around the country that have sales tax and also have a income tax. It's like, I believe off the top of my head, I'm going to say 37. And of those, like, all the West Coast states, almost all the East Coast states, I think Texas and Florida are the only two major states population-wise that I can think of that don't have them. But it's, you know, New York does, California does, Oregon does. It's not like this is like a brand new idea that is an earth-shattering thing. I think it's just the idea that we're changing something and people fear change.
Right, right. Well, that, I mean, you know, you just brought up another good point is, in my mind, is going to be a different argument altogether, is that the states that have this income tax coupled with a sales tax are still in this, you know, massive recession right now, you know. And that's, I think, people are gonna be bringing that up also.
Yeah.
But so I'd like to maybe go to another musical break here. Would you guys have maybe a couple more minutes to spend talking about some of the some of the candidates you guys are backing?
Foch.
Foch show?
Yeah.
Sarah, you got some time?
Yes.
All right.
She's cracking open another beer.
All right. Well, once again, thank you for listening. We have Sarah Nason and Toby Crittenden here from the Washington Bus Organization. Ooh. We're going to hear some Beck Gamma Ray, and we will be right back.
Nice.
We are back with Sarah Nason and Toby Crittenden of the Washington Bus. We're preoccupied right now with photography. So welcome back. Thanks for listening to this epically long show we have going on for you here. But we're only going to be, you know, a little bit longer because these guys got to get out of here. So I wanted just to hit on really quick who you guys are backing as candidates for the next election.
Well, we're very excited about our candidates. we announced them actually yesterday for the first time, and Publicola, the online news site, named them the Washington Bus Six Pack because we have six candidates,
right on.
Which is an awesome name, and really like it. So the Washington Bus Six Pack is, if I can do it in alphabetical order, which I probably won't be able to. Andy Billig, who's running for state rep in Spokane in the 3rd Congressional District. Randy Gordon, who's running for sort of re-election. He's a state senator in the 41st LD, which is Mercer Island and Bellevue. And he's was appointed during the last term. So he's running for election, but he was appointed. So he's kind of an incumbent. It's one of those weird things. Jeff Simpson and Claudia Kaufman, who are both running for state rep, and they are incumbents in the 47th Legislative District, so Kent, Auburn, Covington area. There is Joe Fitzgibbon. Joe Fitzgibbon. He's the beast from the West. He's representing the 34th LD, running for state rep. He's 23 years old, smart as a whip. And
West Seattle,
yes. And is just a great candidate, and he's really young. It's awesome. And then Nick Harper, who is running for state representative in 38th Legislative District, so Everett, Snohomish County area.
Great, great. And so all of these native Washingtonians, I take it, right?
I mean, we don't support anybody who wasn't born, and we don't even associate with anybody who wasn't born in Washington. Wait, what?
Oh, wait.
Now, I want you to name off each of their platforms in massive detail. You have 10 minutes. Go.
Only 10 minutes? I could tell you a little bit. It's every time, Sarah. Every time.
Sorry.
It's terrible. Can't get through a staff meeting with this narcoleptic. No, it's a really cool group of candidates. And the thing that I like the most about them is that they're from all over. It's geographically diverse. It's our our second. We went to Spokane last year for the first time for candidates, and that's awesome. We love Spokane. So anyone listening in Spokane, we love the Lilac City. It's amazing. Huge progressive center in Washington State. The age range is awesome. A lot of young candidates. Joe, as I mentioned, Joe Fitzgibbon, 23 years old. Nick Harper, I'm going to blank on his exact age, but he's in his early 30s. Just really smart young guys who, and unfortunately, both guys, not unfortunately, sorry, gentlemen, but it'd be nice if we had some young women running for office as well. But two really smart candidates who are really good on everything from, you know, the sort of the progressive nuts and bolts of environmental protection, of transportation, of equality, and then everything from that to their specific niches. Like Joe Fitzgibbon is at 23 years old on the Burien Planning Commission. He's run a shoreline planning master program for the whole city.
Wow.
He's been a legislative aide for 3 years in Olympia, so he's got more experience than almost anybody who runs for office in Olympia. He actually knows the legislators. He knows how the whole process works. So it's a really cool group of folks. And
awesome.
Yeah, it's really fun to be looking forward to this year.
And so Politico has coined them as being the Washington bus six pack.
Well, Publicola has. When Politico, Politico picks them up, then we'll be really excited.
Yeah.
One of the cool things is that, you know, we're about 3 years old. I mean, we're really in our infancy as an organization. Uh-huh. And when we first started, you know, we were like, oh man, you know, trying to find candidates that we really wanted to support. And this year was really a huge change because we had a lot of candidates actually coming to us and saying, we've seen what you guys have done. You guys are great at getting young people out. Like,
that's
we
really cool.
want the bus on our side.
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, it was a long process. I mean, Toby really spearheaded the whole candidate selection process with our board.
Which is why I know their names.
You know them well.
Yeah.
Right.
But One of the cool things that we asked them to do this year is to submit a video to us that they posted on YouTube that was no longer than 3 minutes long, that basically asked the bus for support. I mean, we wanted to see why they wanted us to support them as a candidate. And so you can see all those videos on our website. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they definitely it gives everyone a picture of who these candidates are, what they stand for, and how the bus can best support them.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really, I mean, it was great to see all these videos that they made for us, you know. It was really interesting.
Yeah.
What are you, cutting me off here?
Oh, man.
Ooh, get
still,
the hook.
Still
jeez, you fall asleep once every podcast.
Still a beginner on this, really. Sorry. So you said that you started about 3 years ago. Were you guys members of the bus when it all started?
Sarah was in an OG bus.
I am.
Individual.
Nice.
Yeah, I came on as a volunteer back in 2007 and just came on to staff like about 5 or 6 months later. I convinced them that they needed somebody to organize them.
Yeah. Now
thank God. we would just be sitting in a coffee shop.
Are you guys
right.
without any sort of infrastructure without Sarah. So,
right.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't even be on this podcast.
We wouldn't be at all. We
this
would be wondering
really
why won't Air Raid
call us? Highly popular podcast.
Why won't Air Raid?
He's got like 6 fans. And now I have 7 followers on Twitter. I just wanted to say.
That's awesome.
yeah. They're like 6 of them are one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Which is you.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, it's my personal Twitter account. I see your guys' stickers all over the place.
We don't know who put this
I don't
in.
Know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just not even reasonable that you would dissociate
this interview's
us.
Over.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta go.
But you guys have who did your graphic design for you? Because it's very, very cool picture of like a city bus or a Greyhound bus with these gigantic wheels on it.
So that's our actual bus. That is our actual bus.
No,
it is. If
with
you look,
the gigantic wheels on.
Well, we had to take the wheels off because you know gas mileage and everything. But
the wheels were on it though.
Well, I'm lying.
Nah, you.
But
in Sarah's dreams, they were on.
But it is our real bus. It is our actual real life bus. And the fine folks at Spacecraft are the ones who designed our logo for us. Spacecraft is a local company. They do a lot of snowboard gear, and they do like cute little hats and hoodies and all kinds of cool stuff. And they're also really engaged in the community. We got the idea from a sticker that they put out. I mean, they do tons of these stickers with like the rays, you know, the red and white rays all around.
Right.
And they had a sticker that was the bus that Rosa Parks rode on that had those monster tires on it, and it said change up at the top. And love that sticker so much. And so when we talked to them about it, I was like, oh, man, it'd be so cool to be able to put the bus on there. And they did it for us, and that became our logo. And so it's pretty popular, and we have them to thank for it.
Yeah, Spacecraft just destroyed it on the design in the best possible way. It's the same design is on our shirts, and it's awesome. The shirts are great.
We brought you a shirt.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I knew this was a great idea.
You will see this design shortly.
So now, okay, so episode 2, we had Cannon Canyon, who you know Mike Cooper of Cannon Canyon.
I love Mike Cooper.
We all love Mike Cooper. How could you not? So we had a free show, and then Chaz Roberts of the Rebar, who does the show or did the shows, Seattle Semi Pro Wrestling and. And I'm totally blanking on the name of it now. Great. That sucks. I'm such a pro at this. Get Loaded.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's why you forgot.
I was just joking. And then he brought me tasty crimpets from the East Coast, these little like Twinkie things.
Crimpets?
Yeah.
Not crumpets.
No, crimpets.
Crimpets.
Yeah. Tasty cakes.
All right.
Oh, Tasty Cakes, yeah.
Yeah, you probably know those.
I know that name.
Yeah, you betcha.
Oh, sure.
And now you guys are bringing me shirts. This is great. Woo-hoo. I knew I did this for a reason. I did it for swag.
Yep.
Yeah.
I believe the term you're looking for is mogul.
Mogul?
Media mogul.
Media mogul. Yeah. I'm on my way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Episode 5, we're one step closer. Okay, you guys. Well, thank you so much for coming. We got to get you out of here. You got stuff to do. So, what's the website, and where can we contact you guys?
The official bus website is www.washingtonbus.org. If you want to check out our blog, it is hellabus.org or washingtonbus.wordpress.com, depending on your proclivity towards remembering long. URLs or not. You can find a link to it on our website as well. You can find us on Twitter /Washington Bus. You can find us on Facebook /Washington Bus. We are on MySpace, but really don't just go straight to Facebook.
Yeah, who uses MySpace?
That was really,
anymore?
Yeah.
Jeez. Whew, you just lost like 10 people.
I know.
Right
they're like, this guy, who even says that? Yeah, you can find us on the secret social networking thing that hasn't even gotten popular yet. Prince is on it, so you know that it's popular. It's on its way up. And then YouTube /The Washington Bus.
Awesome. Awesome. So you guys are pretty much everywhere. You can just go onto Google and type in The Washington Bus and you'll find you somewhere.
And now, ignore those posts or those news stories about people getting arrested. We totally didn't have anything to do with that.
And what's that all about?
Oh, no, there's nothing.
is that enough? That's something for a different
episode.
Too soon.
Six.
Too soon.
No, come check us out at Capitol Hill Block Party. Yeah. We'll give you a popsicle.
Excellent. Totally. Excellent. So you guys will be up there. And then what are the dates on that again?
23, 24, 25 of July.
2
awesome.
Weeks.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you guys once again for coming. Sarah Nason and Toby Crittenden. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron.
And thank you for the awesome t-shirt.
You haven't seen it yet.
I know. I haven't.
It's more of a tank top.
Yeah.
It's very small.
It's made out of denim, too. With studs.
Canadian tuxedo.
right. Sure. Okay, we're going to go out today with Airstream Driver by Gomez. Thank you again for listening to the show. Remember, you can email me at aaron@air-raid.net. And you can also find us on iTunes and stream us directly from the website. Thanks, you guys, for listening, and have a great week.
the heights go,